But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they conducted Paul, brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, who were the devout persons, into the market daily with them that met with him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for the reading of your word, Lord, and thank you again for this service. I pray, Holy Spirit, you speak through me, Lord. I pray you encourage hearts. Pray, God, that your will be done. Holy Spirit, do thy will today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our text is found in verse number 16, and I read, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. When he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, his spirit was stirred in him." His spirit was stirred in him. That's the title of my message this morning. His spirit was stirred in him. The great apostle Paul, if we had time to read the whole chapter, I'm just going to try to bring you up to this point. But the great apostle Paul was in the midst of his second missionary journey. In Acts chapter 17, 1 through 4, you'll see that he visits Thessalonica. And while there, he was doing what Paul does. He was giving the truth. He was preaching the truth of the Word of God. And just about everywhere Paul went, as you study, and if you stand for truth, you too will go ahead and face some opposition, and there's going to be some people angry, and you might stir up some trouble for standing for truth and preaching truth. And while there, he stirred up the people, and some believed the truth, and some didn't. But there was a mob of angry Jews who rioted, and Paul's life was in danger, so Paul had to get out of there, and he went on to Berea. And in verse number 17, 5 through 9, he got to Berea. And the Berean people were studied people. They did study the scriptures and so forth. They were a little bit more open, if you will. But he got to Berea. He did a good work for the Lord. But the mob of angry Jews from Thessalonica, they got word. They found out that Paul was down there preaching. And so they moved on down there. And again, Paul's life was in danger. And he had to be moved. So a group of godly brethren, if you will, went ahead and helped Paul get to the city of Athens. And Paul told these brethren, "Please go back. Okay, please go back." You know, he didn't want to leave without Silas and Timotheus. And so would you please go back and bring them to me here in Athens. Now, we pick it up here in verse number 16, now the brethren went off, took with speed, the Bible says, and went and got Silas and Timothy, but there was going to be some waiting time. And the Bible says in verse 16, "Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given unto idolatry." Now, here is Paul. He's waiting at Athens, and he's waiting for his brethren to come along, Silas and Timotheus, and Paul was not this kind. If you study the life of Paul, especially once he got saved, you know, he hit the ground running telling people about Jesus. And he was not the kind just to sit around and just wait, you know. He was waiting, but he was not just going to sit there and just kind of twiddle his thumbs till Paul and Silas got there, you know. So he started walking around a little bit, and the Bible says as he looked around the city of Athens, again, think of Athens. Athens is much like today, is a very sophisticated, it's a very highly educated city, but the problem with Athens is it was a city wholly given to the idolatry. Of course, we know what an idol is. An idol is anything we put before God, anything that we would replace the Almighty God with, and so forth. So here is Paul, and he was looking around, and he was moved, if you will. The Bible says his spirit was stirred in him. He was there. His spirit was stirred, and he was bothered, if you will, because of the idolatry, and people did not know the God that he preached about. The God Paul loved and preached was not worshipped there, and it moved him. And it stirred him. Let me ask you a question. What stirs you this morning? You know, this is a very pointed question. I know that. But let me ask you a question, Christian. What stirs you this morning? Does the fact that the Bruins is going to the finals stir you? I know it does for some. All right? Okay? And does the fact that the Red Sox are playing pretty good right now, does that stir you? I mean, there's a fact that the Red Sox may be number one in their division. How about your job? Maybe the NBA Finals. The Celtics didn't make it, but you're cheering for the Spurs. Okay? All right, boy, I'm getting amens right now. Maybe I won't later on. But you know what? But what stirs you this morning? Let me ask you a question. Let me just say this. Maybe what stirs us isn't exactly what stirred Paul. We see here in Paul, boy, his mindset was totally different. Paul, you know, he got to Athens and, you know, and just study the life of Paul. Everywhere he went, he saw people. And he saw people lost. He saw people dying and going to hell. Remember when Jesus, he was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. You know, Paul was very much like that. He had that same kind of mannerism. You know what? When he saw people, he was moved. And the Bible says here in Athens, at this very rich, this highly educated city, this highly cultured city, you know, he got there, and the Bible says that his spirit was moved within him. Why? Because of the idolatry. Why? Because God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was not being raised and was not being worshipped, if you will. And I ask you, what stirs you? The stuff that stirs us does not stir Paul. As a child of God, the fact that people in Athens did not know God and served other gods, that stirred Paul up. He was stirred. Why? Because he had a tender heart. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Do you have a tender heart for the lost around us? For that person at the workplace? For that maybe neighbor across the street, or for that lost soul that you might just run across? Hey, do you get stirred up by the fact that we live in a world that's dying and going to hell? Hey, what stirs you up this morning? Paul was moved simply because he had a tender heart. Paul was stirred. His spirit was stirred in him, the Bible says. Number one, Paul's spirit was stirred because he was soul conscious. The Bible says in verse number 23, "For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" You know what? He was stirred because he was soul conscious. He was in tune with the spiritual condition around him. He noticed all walks of life. Paul was walking along and he passed by and he saw people at this idolatrous altar that had a description which read, "To the unknown God." And Paul, no doubt, as he saw that, he said, "These people have no clue who God is. They don't know who God is." And in his mind, he says, "I can tell you who God is. He is the one that saves. He's the one that died on a cross and he was buried and he rose again. You know, that God of Baal, that God that you worship, cannot take you to heaven. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, is the one that can take you to heaven." It stirred him to a point that, you know, you don't know who God is. "To the unknown God." Hey, he says, "Let me tell you who God is." He was moved. "But I can tell you." Paul had the truth of what they needed. You know, let me just say this to this morning, church. We too have the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We have the truth. You know, as a Christian, it ought to be that if you have the truth in you, which is Jesus Christ, we need to go proclaim the truth. The Bible says, and he commands us to, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And you know what? We have a command there. That is not a suggestion given by Jesus Christ. That is a command. He's given us a commission, the Great Commission. And we need to go into all the world. Paul was stirred. His spirit was stirred in him. Let me ask you a question again. What stirs you? What stirs you? Our world today is the very same way. You know, we too need to be in tune. We see Paul here. He was in tune with the spiritual conditions around him. He was moved. No doubt he was broken as he was walking around, seeing people worshiping unknown gods and so forth. And we too need to be in tune with the spiritual conditions around us. You know, there are kids on that bus route that need Jesus. Amen. I just say it again, there are kids on that bus route that need Jesus. You know, what can we do to go reach that kid? Can we go ahead and get moving a little bit and get a little bit of life in us? You know what? God has given us life and he's given it to us more abundantly, and we have the truth. Why don't we go tell somebody on that bus route how to be saved? Why don't we do something about getting that bus kid, another bus kid, if you will, on that church bus? Remember when we used to visit the bus route? Remember when that bus route was part of your life and it stirred and you were stirred by their condition? You think for a moment, these bus kids that come in, and thank God for each and every bus kid that rolls in here, and sometimes they are a little bit rowdy. Sometimes they do, you know, and no matter how much you tell them, don't throw your candy wrapper on the floor. There's going to be some that fall on the floor. You know, but thank God, listen to me, thank God for every bus kid that we reached. You know, but the truth of the matter is, you know what, we need to be in spirit, tuned spiritually with the conditions around us. Paul was that way. Paul is a great example of who we are to be as a Christian today. We ought to be a soul winner. We need to be in tune with the spiritual condition around Carver, around Plymouth, around your neighborhood, around this nation, around the world. What about that person you work with? Do they know that you're saved? Do they know verbally from you speaking to them about Jesus? But another way that people ought to be able to tell you're saved is just by your outward testimony. Don't misunderstand me. I'm for telling people. We need to tell people about Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. But your testimony ought to speak a lot for Jesus Christ. It ought to speak volumes for Jesus Christ. The way that you act, the way that you conduct yourselves, maybe the way that you dress, maybe the words that you use. Does that coworker at the job site know that you are a Christian? Have you had the opportunity? Have you taken time and talked to them about Jesus? You know what? Maybe you know. And I'm not saying on the time when you're supposed to be working, but maybe on break or whatever. Or maybe you could say to that coworker, give them a gospel tract, say, take time and read that. If you have any questions, feel free to talk to me. Boy, we need to be mindful of the spiritual condition that's around us. Hey, teenager, how about them other teenagers, them kids that you go to school with? You know, just because it's public school doesn't mean that you can't stand for the Lord. Just because you go to public school, and I know that in our case here at Faith Baptist, we have several that are in Christian education, if you will, and I thank God for Christian education is the best way to go, amen? But if you are in public school, let me just stop and say this, that does not mean that you do not have to live for the Lord. You can stand for Christ, yes, in public school. You know, people ought to know that you go to church. Yeah, and I know that you're somewhat limited. Unfortunately, you're limited by your speech and so forth. But people ought to know that because you don't go ahead and hang around with a drug crowd, and then I know they're at public school. You don't go out around the building and smoke a cigarette. You don't say the words. You know, people ought to tell just by your clean appearance and by what you say that I'm a child of the King. Hey, teenager, them other teenagers you go to school with, them teenagers that live on your block, do they know that you know Jesus? Here and there. I'm talking about the places that we go. I'm talking about everyday life, going to the mall. You ladies love the mall, amen? I love it too, amen? But anyways, I'm just kidding. But you know, here and there. You know, as you travel, as you go, maybe you walk down the street or whatever. Do you understand? Listen to me. Maybe you walk by someone down the street when you're out for a walk. Do you realize, just like you have a soul, that person that walked by you has one too? Boy, it's a good habit to carry a few tracts with you. It'll give the gospel message in that gospel tract. As you go about your daily business, do they know that you know Jesus, the Son of the living God? Do you attempt to tell someone about Jesus through tracts, through organized soul winning? You know, I just say this, you know what, we need soul winners. And I'm not asking, God is, go ye. So many people, many more people could be saved. There's so many more doors could be knocked if we could get some soul winners. You know, but let me ask you a question. What stirs your spirit on Saturday morning? Think about it for just a moment. You know, let me just stop and say this. You know, the first thing on Saturday morning is not, you know, some may think that the preacher says, yes! Yeah, right. I need my coffee. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. But you know what encourages me when I get to have the privilege almost every Saturday to go out with somebody and go tell somebody about Jesus? Thursday nights. You know, but what stirs you on Saturday morning? You know, I'm afraid, you know, if we would go ahead and look at the great apostle Paul, and Paul was a mighty man of God, but you know what, let me just stop and say this. He was robed in flesh just like you and I. He got tired just like you and I did. You know, no doubt, man, you know, he had to run for his life here. And now he's here in Athens waiting. You know, Paul could have said, you know, I'm just going to go get a little room somewhere. I'm just going to sit back and wait until my guys get here, then we'll be able to do more, whatever. Sometimes that's how we think, you know. When the other crew shows up, that's when we begin work. No, Paul wasn't that way. Boy, you know what, he got into Athens, he hit the ground, he says, wow, His spirit was moved because the city was taken into idolatry. It was holy in idolatry, the Bible says. What moves you this morning? What keeps you from passing out tracts? What keeps you from going soul winning? What keeps you from telling people about Jesus? Think of Jeremiah. Turn back to Lamentations for just a moment. I'll read a couple verses here. Lamentations chapter 3, the Bible says this. I'm going to read 48. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 48. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. And boy, you know, you can tell, of course, he's lamenting here in the book of Lamentations, and you can tell he is really weeping here. The Bible says that he was so moved by the condition of God's people and the conditions around him. He was in tune with the spiritual condition around him. The Bible says in three different verses here that he was moved. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water. You know, when you think of a river, you know what? That's pretty wet. I mean, you know what? This wasn't just a trickle here and there. You know what? I could see Jeremiah. He was known as that weeping prophet. He even saw the conditions of the lost around him. He saw the conditions of God's people even around him. And he was sickened by it. He was hurt by it. And the Bible says that mine eye runneth down with rivers of water. Why? For the destruction of the daughter of my people. When was the last time you wept for the lost and dying world around you? When was the last time you wept for that lost family member that you know, boy, preach, I want to see this person saved. I want my mama to say, I want my daddy to say, I want my sister or my brother. I want them saved. But let me ask you a question. When was the last time you got on your knees and you wept before an almighty God about them? When was the last time you wept for them kids on your bus route? Boy, you know, you think about some of the conditions, not every situation, but some of the conditions these kids have to live in. You know what? They need our prayers. Amen. They need our tears even. They need us as God's people. I'm talking about from the preacher to the bus captain to the deacon and the Sunday school teachers right on down to get on our face before Almighty God and even weep for them and to watch over and for God to watch over them and to protect them throughout the week. Paul, or Jeremiah, he was the weeping prophet. He was crying. Verse number 49, mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not. Can you see Jeremiah walking through the city? Just the tears just pouring down. And again, it takes me to Jesus. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. You know, Jesus also, you know, I believe that when he saw the multitudes, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He says he was moved. I don't think Jesus was just there, just kind of, you know, twirling. He was moved. And I believe that Jesus was weeping for the scattering of his people. Mine eye affecteth mine heart, the Bible says in 51, because all the daughters of mine eye affecteth my heart. That's what happened to Paul. He got looking around and he saw the idolatry. He saw people just going here and there and lost souls dying and going to hell. And you know what he saw? It affected his heart. You see, when you go ahead and you see something, it does affect your heart. You see when you see a person dying and going to hell, that ought to affect your heart. When you see someone maybe stumble and fall and get hurt, you know, that ought to affect you. You don't say, yes! No, that ought to affect your heart. Ought to have compassion. Jeremiah was weeping for those around him. Do you weep for those around you? For the condition of those around you? Now, often God's people were so quick to criticize the condition of our nation, but we won't say a prayer for her. We criticize, you know, listen. I know that any leader that is elected, let me just stop and say this right off the bat. They're not going to be perfect. Okay, now listen, I'm not condoning policy right now. None.
But I know my Bible says in Romans I'm supposed to pray for my authority. I'm supposed to pray for my authority. You know, sometimes we'll go ahead and we'll look at the condition of our nation. We'll look at the economy. We'll look at, this is a bad policy. We'll look at this. And whatever the case may be, yes, and it may be bad. But you know what the Bible says? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then. What we need to do, we need to stop criticizing about everything. And by the way, I thank God I'm an American. Thank God we have the freedoms today. You know what? There are people all around this world that would love to be able to worship freely like we are right now. Thank God that there was blood shed so we can meet like this and preach like this and go tell people about Jesus. Thank God for that. But all the while, when things don't quite go our way, decisions aren't quite made the way we want them to be made, you know what? Let me ask you a question. If we're complaining and we're whining about that, when was the last time, Christian, you got on your knees and you prayed for your nation? When was the last time you prayed for your president? Well, I didn't vote for that. So what? It's fine. The Bible says that we need to pray for our leaders. When was the last time you prayed for the cabinet of the United States, of the president, of the president? When was the last time you prayed for the governor, for our town selectman? Often was so quick to criticize. But the truth of the matter is, and yes, I know, listen, you know what, and then it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, you know, our nation is in trouble. I understand that. But can I just say, you know the remedy to that? Jesus is coming. You know, the Bible says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. The Bible says there's going to be some tough trials before Jesus comes. You know what? Let me just stop and say this. Jesus is coming again. That's going to be the remedy for the problems around us. And don't misunderstand. I'm not so naive to think that I don't see what's going on. I understand. I get it. Even as a child of God, you know what? Jesus, even so, come, Lord Jesus. One of these days, he's going to go ahead and part the clouds, and he's going to come for his own. And let me ask you a question. Are you ready? I am. Jesus is coming. Pray for those around you. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the lost about us. You know, again, time is short. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but, you know, I believe he's coming very soon. I just believe he's coming very soon. I'm not going to put a date on it. That's foolishness. But let me just stop and say this. Let me just go ahead and stop and say this. He is coming soon. Right now, my friend, is a time to get the truth out. When he parts the clouds and we are forever with the Lord, you know what? It'll be too late to go ahead and go after that lost neighbor. It'll be too late to go after that lost coworker. It'll be too late to go after that lost relative or whatever. The time is right. The time is now to go ahead and tell people about Jesus. Pray for the lost. Go tell somebody about Jesus today. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for that lost one today. Paul's spirit was stirred because he was soul conscious. Boy, we need that today. But we need every preacher. We need every deacon. We need every Sunday school teacher. We need every church member to be soul conscious. Be mindful of the condition of those around you. They have a soul just like you. And someone, thank God, went and told you about Jesus, and your soul is saved from hell. Now let's take up the responsibility that we're supposed to have here, and let's go tell somebody about Jesus. Paul's stirred spirit led him to bring the truth to the people. Again, his eye affected his heart. Just like Jeremiah, but he saw and he was moved. The Bible says back in Acts chapter 17, verse number 17, the Bible says, therefore, okay, he saw in verse number 16, when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. So, you know, he saw, he was moved, his spirit was stirred because of the idolatry was wholly taking over that city and so forth. And so what's he do? He goes out and tells people about Jesus. He goes out there, he goes soul winning. Exactly what we're supposed to do. He says, therefore disputed he. He went into the synagogue, and he went to the devout persons, the Bible says. He went into the marketplace with them that met with him. You know, he went to the common people just like you and I. You know, he was moved and he saw all walks of life there in the city of Athens, and his spirit was stirred within him. And so that drove him, his stirred spirit drove him to tell people the truth. They weren't worshiping truth. They didn't know the truth, but it drove him to the point, hey, let me tell you the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He went where the common people went, just like you and I. He reached out. He was so stirred that he went after every walks of life where to do the same. Let me just stop and say this. Faith Baptist Church will never be selective in who they go after. You know what? Jesus died for all. We are to go after all. Amen? We will never be selective for who we go after. Jesus died for each and every person, the blind, the deaf, the maimed, and the halt. You know what? We at FBC, we need to go after them. You know, the rich and the poor and the middle class. You know what? We at FBC, we need to go after them. You know, the religious who have no relationship with Christ. You know, there's a lot of religion out there, but you know what? They do not have a relationship, a true relationship with Jesus Christ, which is what takes them to heaven. Here at Faith Baptist Church, we teach and preach how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are not based on religion. We are based on a relationship. Amen and amen. You know, but we need to go after the religious who have no relationship with Christ. We need to go after the young and the old. We need to go after, and yes, I'm going to say this, the homosexuals. You know what? You know why they are that way? Because they're lost and they're on their way to hell. Don't you go ahead and shy away and say, you know what? Listen to me. They can't be saved. Yes, they can be saved. Why don't you pray for them? You know, and it is a sick. It is sick. It is sick what's going on. They're rampant all around this country, all around this area. But what we as God's people need to do, we need to get on our knees and pray for this nation and pray for them. I've invited many homosexuals, be correct right now. I've invited many to church. Whether they come or not, that's their business. But you know, I never want to be selective in who we have to go ahead and go after. For God so loved the what? World. Or to go after the atheist, the agnostic. You know, listen, I'm not praising sin today. You know what? That homosexual, you know what? I'm not praising their sin, but they're a sinner that needs Jesus Christ. And you were once a sinner that needed Jesus Christ. But we go into all the world, everyone we meet, be so conscious, reach out. Paul, while he was waiting for his brethren, Silas and Timotheus. And, you know, he just didn't sit back and twiddle his thumbs. No, he looked around. He saw the city wholly taken in idolatry. He was so conscious. And he was so moved that he wanted to get to the truth to the people. Paul's stirred spirit kept him going despite the hard ground he had to plow. Verse number 18 of that chapter, Acts chapter 17, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? They called him babbler. He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Athens, no doubt, was a pretty hard place. You know, let me just stop and say this, pretty hard place around our area, too. You know what, but people can still be saved, amen? But Athens was a pretty tough place here. But as he was moved and telling people about the truth, there were certain philosophers, the Bible says. Philosophers, they were the smart people. They were the highly educated people. Okay, they knew a lot, if you will, but they seemed intrigued, if you will, by what he said, and they wanted to hear what he had to say. So they didn't just push him away. They let him speak, if you will. They didn't shut him down. And these people were the harder to reach people. You know what? Talk about, you know, the rich people. They, you know, oftentimes the rich people are kind of the hard ground to plow, if you will. The highly educated people, some, you know, sad, but they think they know more than God oftentimes, and so forth. That could be problematic. But you know what? Despite the kind of ground that he plowed, he went after them. You know, the philosophers listened. The educators was willing to listen. That doesn't mean they believed. That doesn't mean they called upon the name of the Lord. But you know what? Paul was not going to go ahead and let some tough ground keep him from plowing. Amen. He was going to go ahead and plow anyways. He was so moved that he wanted everybody, rich or poor, to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not all will hear. You know what? You will get rejected. You know, you will get the no's. And it's not always, no, thank you. No! Slam. You ever have that when you're out sowing? Been there, done that. Got quite a few t-shirts. You know, it's happened quite a bit. You know, not everybody's going to hear. You know, but we need to keep going despite of the hard ground that is plowed. You'll get doors slammed. You'll be mocked at. But you will not know the ones who want to hear until you go tell it. Listen to me. You know, let me just stop and say this. If they slam your door, if someone slams the door on your face, dust your feet off and go to the next one. You know, listen to me. People are still getting saved. If you go with a mindset that as you take that street, you go down door knocking, you take them bags of John and Romans and so forth, you know what? Some will say no. Some will go ahead and yell at you. Some will say, get off my property and so forth. And very graciously, you don't go ahead and fight them and whatever. But you know what? You just keep going because somebody wants it. Somebody wants it. Some won't go because of the excuse society doesn't want what we have. You know, that's just really most of the time an excuse for not obeying God's command. That's really what it is. People don't want to hear it, Pastor. You know, really, you know what? That's just an excuse for us not obeying. You know, the Bible says, you know, go ye in all the world. It doesn't say go ye if they hear. He doesn't say specific people. You know, go ye to the towns, or go ye to the poor people, or go ye to that city. No, go ye into all the world. Paul had that mindset. Paul's heart was stirred. It kept him going in spite of the hard ground. You know, building a bus route can be hard. It can be. But you keep going. You go after it. Hey, bus captain, you keep on going. You know, you wonder, why did I have a low day today? You know, let that low day motivate you to have a higher day next week, amen? Let that low day motivate you to a point that, you know, I'm going to show up. I'm going to go sowing. I'm going to be on that bus route next week. I'm going to go a little bit longer. I'm going to pray up even harder so that I can go ahead and try to fill my bus. Building a Sunday school can be hard. The class. You know, but you keep going. You keep going to get them. Sometimes, well, I only have had two in my class. Well, you know, my Bible says, well, two or three together, be together, there you'll be. You know, thank God for the two. Thank God for the three. Thank God for those that were here. But you keep going to get them. You keep visiting them. You keep encouraging them. You know, building a church is difficult, amen? We've been here for a long time. It's difficult. Thank God. Thank God for what he's doing, amen? Thank God that we're seeing the blessings, and God has been so good since 1989. You do the math, okay? But he's been so good. Praise the Lord. People have been saved, and it's nice to be able to go out soul winning and say, you know, I remember Brother So-and-so. How often I hear Brother Roger's name a lot. He's been around, but he's been out and knocking on doors. I thank God for that kind of faithfulness. Yeah, is Brother Roger still there? You still running that bus, you know, and so forth and so on. You know what? Building a church can be difficult, but we just got to keep on plowing, amen? We just got to keep on going after them. We need to go after the red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. We just need to keep on doing what God has called us to do. Paul stood up on hard ground. In verse number 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, think of this boldness now. Paul was a stranger here. Okay, Paul was just in town for a little while now, and here he is. He's standing up in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. You know what? I guarantee you the people were just kind of shocked at, who is this guy? You know, but I think of the boldness here. But despite of the hard ground, he kept on plowing. He kept on going. I ask you a question. What stirs you? You see the stirring of Paul. You know, he wasn't stirred by some soccer game. He was stirred because people were lost and dying, going to hell. You know what? I have sneaking suspicion that's what should stir us as well as God's people. Hey, guys, what stirs you? I know what it is, football, cars, baseball, the Red Sox. We can talk about a lot that stirs us. But does the fact that there's a world dying going to hell, does that stir us? Did it used to stir us, but time has passed, and we're not as stirred anymore, but we should be. I'm preaching to myself. Ladies, What do you talk about? What do you talk about? Cooking? Shopping? Shoes? Knitting? I don't know. What do you talk about? But listen to me. What stirs you? Hey, teenager, what stirs you? The latest video game? The latest trophy, maybe from that sports team? You know, I'm just going to say this, and, you know, I'm not sure, quite so sure God is as concerned about the NBA Finals as we are. But I do know that he's concerned about the lost souls of this world. Well, you know, we got to look at things in perspective here. That type of stuff was not what stirred Paul. It was stirred for the lost souls. What stirs us this morning? Number one, Paul's spirit was stirred because he was soul conscious. Are you soul conscious? Are you mindful of them people around you? Realize they have a soul that needs to hear about Jesus? Paul's stirred spirit led him to bring the truth to the people. He was so moved that he said, man, I got to give them the truth. Paul's stirred spirit kept him going despite the hard ground he had to plow. And then number four and last, Paul's stirred spirit led him to make a difference. Acts chapter 17, the last three verses. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Been there, haven't you? I have. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. We think about it a little bit. Yeah, you know, some will mock you and say, I don't want to hear it. Some will, I need to hear it again. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men, though, however, certain men clave unto him and believed, among which was Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. Certain men clave. You know what? Paul's stirred spirit led him to make a difference. Yes, some mocked. Some would not believe, but some did. Right here's a couple of examples of some that believed. You know, let me just stop and say this. These people that I just read, Damaris and this Dionysus, I'll bet you they're glad that Paul did not look at that city. It's so hard! Ah, let's go somewhere else. No, I guarantee you, they're very glad. You know, Paul stayed long enough to make a difference. He made a difference in these people. He may not have made a difference had he left, but he made a difference in these people. They were glad that he stuck it out. You know, think of the people. I think of the people in our church that we have reached in our church. We've made a difference in their life. I mean, we can think of names right now. You know who they are. You think of some of the bus kids that came as bus kids. Now they're bus teenagers at Faith Baptist Church. Now they're even serving in a ministry. The gospel's still making a difference. Thank God for that. Think of families, and no doubt, I mean, I know, I'll just say, I know Miss Best. Testimony. Reach through this church, your family. I guarantee you, you're very glad that someone knocked on your door and invited you to church. The gospel still makes a difference. You may think, well, nobody wants to hear it. Yes, somebody still does. Somebody still does. I went by and visited a few of my former bus kids in Wareham the other night. They're not here today. I was praying they would be. But you should have saw, Brother Tom was with me. I mean, really, their faces were beaming. They were just happy that we didn't forget about them. They've been gone a lot on weekends for the last year or so, and they're hardly ever home anymore on weekends. And boy, I tell them, please stay home on the weekends. I want to bring you to church. And these were kids that just helped start that bus route a few years back and so forth. And they just, you know, they're all saved, but you could just see they wanted to come. One of them, one of the three, you might know Haley, Lexi, and then little Joy. Some of you know Joy, right? Some of you know Joy, all right. You know what? That little boy, sometimes he's a handful. That little boy, he just came right out and he gave me a big hug. I don't know about you, but that moved me. That really moved me. You know, I don't know if we'll ever be able to get them in church because of their schedule. What I don't know. But Brother Tom and I left there that night saying, you know what, I know that we did make a difference in their life. Had we not gone ahead and had that route a few years back and knocked on their door, perhaps they never would have come to church and never got saved. But today they know who Jesus is, and we have so many stories like that. But Paul's stirred spirit led him to make a difference. If he was like maybe like some of us, maybe here this morning, you get to Athens, you get to that new territory or whatever, but you're not really moved. Yeah, we're here. What do I do now? Let's go get a room at the Hampton. Let's just rest until the other guys get here. Listen to me. Sometimes that's how we are, unfortunately. But we see a great example of Paul. He was threatened for his life. You know, no doubt he was tired. He had to have been tired. He could have gone ahead and taken a nap somewhere, but he was brought from Thessalonica to Berea, Berea to Athens. He was waiting there, no doubt weary, but he pushed all that aside. And the Bible says again, I read verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. When he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Church, listen to me. We got a job to do. There's a whole lot of people outside these walls that should be here tonight, this morning. There's a whole lot of people outside these walls that should be here tonight. Listen to me. There's a world dying going to hell. We have the truth. You know, I said it Wednesday night, but it ought to bother us that the cults are more excited about their so-called truth and getting their so-called truth out than we that hold the truth, but we do nothing about it. Heaven is real. But hell is real too. You think for a minute, Christian, thank God for that one. And you know the one that perhaps led you to, you know the name of that person that led you to the Lord. You know what? And no doubt you thank God for that person being used as a messenger, as a tool to lead you to Christ. He's given us that truth. That person gave us the truth of the Word of God. We got saved. Now we are supposed to do something with that. We too must not just sit back and wait for some big revival to happen. No. You know when revival starts, it starts with us. It's going to start with me. It's not going to be a whole bunch of people getting together and everybody's got happy songs for Jesus. No, it's not going to happen that way. We got to get revived. They're sitting back and waiting and putting our thumbs and say, oh, just wait for the boys to come. No. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you go do something about it? Why don't you come out, you know, maybe Saturday's been, you haven't been out in a long time. Why don't you go do something about it and come out on Saturday. Let's go soul winning again. Come out on a Thursday night and say, you know, I can make a couple follow-up visits and why don't we do something about it? Are we so stirred? Are we so moved by the lost around us that are dying going to hell? Are we really stirred by that, or right now I'm distracted, I'm stirred by other stuff? By the way, you can't take other stuff with you to heaven. But every soul that God used you to lead to Christ and influence for Christ, won't it be a joy to see them in heaven? Won't it be a joy? Paul's spirit was stirred when he saw a city taken, wholly taken into a idolatry. What stirs you this morning? The Bruins may make it to the, they might get the cup. But at the end of the day, my friend, listen to me, and I'm not belittling, I like sports, I like watching it, I watched the Bruins win the other night, but listen to me. But at the end of the day, them getting a cup and rolling down some rolling rally in Boston, is it really going to matter? But let me tell you something, the souls of men, they matter to Christ. We have the truth. Paul saw, and his spirit was stirred to a point he wanted to get the truth to him. And because he got the truth to some, certain men clave to the truth. He made a difference. Let me just stop and say this. You're telling people about Jesus will make a difference. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for today. Thank you for your love and goodness to us, Father. Thank you for this truth here in the Word of God. Certainly spoke to my heart a lot this week about winning people and soul winning, Lord, and just staying hot on the trail, just telling people about Jesus, getting tracks out, going door to door. Father, we need an army of men and women that will say, you know what, I'll do that. I'll be so stirred because of the lost condition around me. I've got the truth. I need to do everything I can to get the truth out there. I pray, God, that your people would be revived this morning, and maybe in